To the family and friends of Adam Banks, to those of you who are gathered here today to remember and celebrate his life of faith as well as to mourn its earthly end, and especially to you, Susie, Dennis, and Cynthia, and all of Adam's brothers and his sister, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. First and foremost, I'd like to say, just from me and my family and from our church family here at Trinity in Hoyleton, that we want to express our sincerest condolences to all of you. Whenever one of our Christian brothers passes from this life into the next, there's always a wide range of emotions that we kind of feel. You know, we feel the sadness and the pain of the loss. We also, at the same time, feel a mixture of joy. Sadness because we hate saying goodbye to those that we love, but joy because we know that for those like Adam who are baptized and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will see them again, and that they are living with Christ in heaven where there is no pain and there's no sorrow and there's none of the problems that we continue to deal with on a day-to-day basis here in this broken world. I can't really imagine personally, but I suppose that these last few weeks have been a whirlwind of emotions for many of you personally, mostly because all this happened so suddenly, and now here you are in the sanctuary and you're having to say goodbye a whole lot earlier than you ever thought that you'd have to. Yesterday, of course, would have been Adam's 40th birthday. And that's one of the things that makes all of this feel just like a really bad dream. But a lot of you that I spoke to shared with me that Adam did believe in God. He trusted in Christ. And so not only was yesterday the anniversary of his birth, but today is the 40th anniversary of his baptism. And so we give thanks to God today that it's because of Jesus and because of his promises to Adam and to all of us that we don't have to mourn today like those who have no hope, as we heard in the epistle reading. But we look forward to the day when we are going to be reunited with Adam in heaven. Even though I didn't have a chance to get to know Adam personally, I'm really thankful for those of you who shared some things about him with me. Get to know a little bit about the kind of guy he was, and I took a look at some of these pictures too, and that helps fill in some of the gaps for me as well. I heard some pretty interesting stories about him growing up, and of course, during his high school days and things like that, I know he could be a little wild and crazy at times. Sounded like the kind of person who just was a lot of fun to be around, liked to joke around, liked to have a good time. And Adam, of course, also had a few things that he was particularly passionate about. One of those things happened to be hockey. All things hockey. Playing hockey, watching hockey, ice hockey, roller hockey. I know that he was a St. Louis Blues fan, and so I'm sure he had a lot of fun with the Stanley Cup run just a couple years ago. I'm sure he played Gloria a few times. Another thing that Adam really enjoyed was roller coasters. Just fascinated by roller coasters. How they work, how they're designed. He liked to ride them. He liked to study them. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way I understand his brain worked. Like, he was just wired to have a very mechanical mind. He was one of those guys who just kind of look at something and figure out how it was all put together. He could assemble things without even having to look at instructions. If there were problems that needed to be fixed, he could do that too. Whenever there was just some assembly required, that was when Adam was in his wheelhouse. That's what I understand from some of the conversations we had. So I was thinking about that. How can I tie all of those things together? You know, the love for hockey, the mechanical mind. What is the thing that's going to, you know, unite those things? And the word, the one word that kept coming to my mind was the word Zamboni, which I'm sure is not the word that you were expecting me to say, but let me explain why. So when you have a hockey rink, the Zamboni has got to be one of the most fascinating mechanical marvels out there because of all the amazing things that it can do. I'm going to go out on a limb and just guess that the amount of time Adam spent on the ice, he probably thought about this a time or two. But, you know, if you've ever had an opportunity to watch a hockey game in person, you know how over the course of a period of hockey, the ice, the quality of the ice changes because the skates are constantly digging into that ice, making everything a little bit rougher, making it harder and harder to skate. But once the period is over, that's when the Zamboni comes out and fixes everything. There's a sharp blade on the back, kind of shaves off the top layer of the ice. And then there's this really kind of complicated corkscrew system that takes those ice shavings and puts them up into the tank. But the most important thing that happens is the hot water, which melts a little bit of the ice, but then freezes and makes a nice, smooth playing surface so that all of those rough spots are covered. The water fills in all the cracks and all the crevices, and all that's left is this nice, perfect sheet of ice to skate on again. Now, if we look at the Old Testament reading that we heard today from Isaiah chapter 40, basically what you see is that what a Zamboni does for a hockey rink is just like what our Lord does for our entire creation. And like Adam, our Lord is passionate about putting things together and fixing things that are messed up, fixing the problems that exist in the world. So these words of Isaiah are pretty fitting for us, especially during the season of Advent, because these words of comfort that Isaiah preached to God's people were also echoed by another person who came years later, John the Baptist, who was God's prophet who announced the coming of Christ into the world. And the first hymn that we sang at the beginning of the service today, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry, that talks about how the advent of Jesus is all kind of like a Zamboni. When Jesus comes, everything gets better. In the hymn, we talked about sins being cleansed, talking about people who are sick, who are healed, how the fallen are given strength to be able to stand, and so on and so forth. Isaiah says here in the text, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. So in other words, everything that is broken about God's creation because of sin, everything that causes us to suffer or experience pain, even death itself, everything gets put back together because God loved us enough to send us His Son. On our own, we wouldn't have any hope on a day like today. Even a person with 10 times the mechanical mind that Adam had would not be able to figure out the problems of sin and death all by themselves. But Christ is in the problem-solving business. And we praise Him that He was willing to do exactly what was needed to be done. He sacrificed Himself upon the cross. He made Himself broken so that all of us could be fixed. This is the good news. This is the gospel that we cling to on a day like today. This is the gospel that was echoed when our Lord famously said to Nicodemus in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. One of the most amazing things about that verse is how Jesus' words show us that God cares not just about fixing the world's problems on a large scale, but He also cares about fixing our individual problems. He actually gives eternal life to us as individual believers. So during the season of Advent especially, on a large scale, we are waiting for the Lord to come. We're waiting for Him to return. We're waiting for that spiritual Zamboni to come and cover over everything and give us an eternal playing surface that is smooth, that will never, ever be made rough by sin and death ever, ever again. But also, in the meantime, as we wait for that day to come, as we continue to pray, come Lord Jesus, we know that God has already come to fill the cracks and crevices of our lives now. That he has poured out his water over us. He has done for you and for me exactly what he did for Adam 40 years ago today. He has cleansed us in holy baptism, and he has connected us to the resurrection of Christ. So that when moments like this arise and we are forced to have to face the reality of physical death, we can do so with confidence. We can do so with hope and courage. We know that death doesn't get the final say. Jesus says to you and me the same thing that he said to Martha in our gospel reading when her brother Lazarus had passed away. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live." This is the truth. This is the truth that you can trust in no matter what happens in your life. When you have a rough day, or when you see or hear something that reminds you of Adam, and it stirs in you the sting of that loss over and over again, when your life feels like one of those crazy roller coasters at Cedar Point that Adam loved so much, with all the steep dives and the twists and the turns and all of those things, you know that what will never ever change, what will stay consistent always, is God's love for you. May the blood of Christ wash over you like a Zamboni. May it straighten out the crooked places in your life. May it make the rough places smooth and plain. And finally, on the last day, may we stand together with Adam and with all the saints, praising the Lamb who loves us with an everlasting love and who truly fixes everything. In his most precious name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll now sing our next song. I know the bulletin says see insert. The words to the song, the hymn, are actually printed on the last page of the bulletin. We're going to sing In Christ Alone.